reading for the second reading, the epistle lesson, be Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jews, by Jesus Christ, the Lord is of all." Please forgive me, this is small print and I'm having difficulty. I'll read that again. "You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which Jesus preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judged of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Amen. This is the word of God. We will now stay standing for our hymn, "Our God Reigns," page 372. I have a difficulty this morning.
Oh. may be seated.
You are a good-looking group today. You all look good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and I welcome you all here. I can walk down here without tripping and falling. I almost did a face plant on Thursday, so get down here in flat ground. Again, it's good to see you all. Today is the day we celebrate that Jesus walked out of that tomb alive. Early on the first day of the week, the women come to anoint his body in the tomb with spices. And they get there and they see the angel and they said, "He is not here. He has risen just like he said." And I think this far removed, it's easy for us to forget the emotional trauma that the women and the disciples had been going through. And Thursday night, he's betrayed. Friday, he's handed over, kind of shuffled between Pilate and the high priest. They crucified him, dead, put him in the tomb. And I think probably more than this year, I don't really know why, but I was really meditating on Holy Saturday, that time between the devastation, the trauma of seeing him die, and it's over. Absolutely over. Have any of you ever been devastated? Just absolutely devastated, maybe through a loss, death, and it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Absolute devastation. What was it like for the disciples on Saturday? It's over. The grief, the numbness, trying to emotionally catch up with everything that's happened. It's hard. It's hard. And I think that's where a lot of us live. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus, they didn't know that. They didn't know it at the time. But he walked out of that tomb on the third day alive. And what does that practically mean? What does that practically look like for us? I want us to go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Because I think in Ezekiel 37, it gives us a beautiful type of what it really means. The magnitude, the awesomeness of Jesus walking out of that tomb alive. So beautifully illustrated in Ezekiel chapter 37. Before we jump into that, pray with me. Father, I thank you that your name is Emmanuel. And Lord, when those disciples, Lord, thought it was all over, all hope was lost, the devastation, the emotional numbness of what just happened. Whoa, this is not the way I thought this was going to go. Lord, many of us can relate to that. And Lord, I thank you that you can minister to that. That feeling of being alone. That feeling of being just abandoned. And like, what was that all about? And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, that you would breathe life into your word today. Lord, that you would come and you would minister to your people today. Pray, Lord, you would anoint me to exhort. You'd anoint me, Lord, to fearlessly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, I pray for every single one of us today that your Holy Spirit would just stir our hearts. Lord, that we would be stirred, that we would have eyes to see more than we've ever seen before, that we would have ears to hear more than we've ever heard the beauty, the awesomeness of Jesus, who you really are, and what it really means that you are alive. Open our eyes. Teach us this morning, Spirit of God. We welcome you here. We welcome you here. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel is a prophet, and I'm going to kind of read and tell the story. As I go through this story, as I was telling y'all last week, one of the things about Bible study, the first principle in Bible study is to observe. And there's some interesting things that happens to Ezekiel here. He's minding his own business, and it says the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, and Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord
and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it literally says he, and it, is it literal? Is it a vision? We're not real sure. But the image here is that the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel and brings him down to the valley. And it's a valley. And we can appreciate that in this beautiful weather that we've been having, all this rain, and we have these green valleys. Now it's really beautiful. And he brings him down to this low place, to this valley. And it was full of bones. And he led me around among them. So the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel, and it's kind of like he's getting like a drone view, you know, kind of high, but kind of looking all around. And the Spirit of the Lord is showing all, you know, just the kind of a, maybe a morbid sight, but it's like, this is what's here, Ezekiel. This is what's here. He led me around among them. And when you read in the Bible and it's translated, behold, that's a particle. And in our language, we could say, hey, it's something to pay attention, maybe a hand clap or, hey, look at this. And so he says, hey, behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, hey, what? They were very dry. So he brings and he shows them this, and these bones, and there's no life in them whatsoever. They've been there for a really long time. And the image there is that they're just dead. No life, no hope, absolutely dead. And God says to him in verse 3, he says, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel very wisely, what does he say? He says, God, you know. Oh, God, you know. Very wise. I would have looked at those bones and said, no way, God, those aren't going to live. But Ezekiel was wise, and he said, Lord, you know. You know if they can live or not. And I answered, oh, God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Seems a little strange to us, doesn't he? God doesn't do this, but he sends his prophet, and he says, son of man, you prophesy to those bones. And you say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And Ezekiel does as he's told. And it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And he's saying, and he does exactly what God says. And he says, prophesy to those bones. Oh, bones, you live. And as he began to prophesy, what happens? It says there's a rattling sound, and those bones, they start coming together, bone to bone. And rattling, shaking. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, tissue, muscles are coming up on them, and then flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath. So God told him to do this, so these bones come together, and so they're no longer scattered. So now you have bodies laying all over this valley. God's not done. He says, okay, Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So what does Ezekiel do? He does as he's told, and he says, come from the four winds and breathe, O breath. And as he does that, he commands that, just as God said, breathe, and the breath of God, the ruach of God, that's the same word for spirit, the Spirit of God comes, breathes on them. And what happens? Those bodies that are laying there, they jump up, and they're there. There's life. There's life in those bones. And behold, they stood up on their feet. Verse 10, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Jesus suffered on the cross. Why? Because he loves us. And he did it to fulfill scripture. Cursed is anyone who dies on the tree. All of the punishment that we deserved was put on Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 3, the man and the woman who were made in God's image, God said, you can do anything you want in this garden, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did that. And Jesus said, God said, if you do that, you will surely die. The serpent came. He tempted them. They ate. Did they immediately drop dead? No. But their spirit within them became dead, that died. And they were cut off from God. They were cut off. And ever since then, as we're born into this world, we choose our own way. We're born into sin. We're born and we rebel against God. We don't want to do what he wants us to do. We want to turn away from him and do our own thing. But God the Father sent Jesus. As we are dead in our sins and in our trespasses, he loved us. And all of the punishment that we deserved was put on Jesus on that cross. They crucified him. He literally died. They put him in that tomb. And the disciples are devastated. They don't understand. All of their hope was put on him. All of their expectations were put on them. The disciples had left everything and followed after him. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. Saturday, they're discouraged. They're depressed. They're reeling. They're trying to figure out what happened. In Matthew chapter 27, the moment Jesus died, the moment he died, Matthew 27, verse 51, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The veil that separated the high priest, they couldn't get in. Very few could get into the Holy of Holies. That veil was torn because Jesus now has made a way for us. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection. That promise in Ezekiel about the graves being opened, part of that prophecy that's given there in Ezekiel 37, part of that was fulfilled when they came back. They're in exile and they came back. But when did that prophecy fulfilled about the graves being opened? When was that fulfilled? It wasn't fulfilled until after Jesus, when Jesus died. When Jesus died, there were other tombs that were opened. But then he was dead. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." When Jesus walked out of that tomb alive, he brought salvation to us. He brought life to us. Just like that valley of dry bones where they were dead. You and I were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he rose again, what does he do? He comes to give us life. He breathes life into us. And as Ezekiel saw and he breathed life, that all those bones jumped up and they became an exceedingly very great army. The church of Jesus Christ will never die because Jesus is alive and he is preparing his bride for his second coming. And he is with us today. And you know who you are, saints of God? If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in him, we are that great and we are that exceedingly great army. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Why? Because the people that love Jesus, that believe in him, that have received him, have the same power in them that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're advancing on the gates of hell. He's given you power. He's given you authority. He has his Spirit of God living in you if you believe in him. Paul writes to the letter to Ephesus. He said, don't you know that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of you? Through Jesus Christ, we have life. Through Jesus Christ, we have healing. Through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. There is nothing that you've ever done that Jesus cannot forgive. It was all put on him at the cross. He loves you. You want to know what love looks like? His name is Jesus. You want to know what salvation looks like? His name is Jesus. You want to know what hope looks like? His name is Jesus. You want to know what deliverance looks like? His name is Jesus. He walked out of that tomb and he bodily rose from the dead, and he is alive. And because he is alive, we have life evermore. We have salvation. We have healing. We have hope. We don't have to live. And in this world, sometimes it feels like a Saturday. It feels like the Saturday between Good Friday when he died on the cross and between he rose. And sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we're like, Lord, what is going on? But the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Frederick Buechner wrote, he said, the cross of Jesus Christ in his resurrection proves that the worst thing is not the last thing. J.R.R. Tolkien's one of my favorite writers, and we know him from The Lord of the Rings, if you've read The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, but J.R.R. Tolkien was a linguist, and he came up with a word called eucatastrophe. That in English, we have words for devastation and catastrophe and horrible things happening. But we don't have a word for great joy and great victory coming out of great tragedy. And J.R.R. Tolkien says, the resurrection is the greatest eucatastrophe that's ever been. What's a eucatastrophe? A eucatastrophe is victory and life and hope coming out of great devastation and great loss. The great Easter eucatastrophe. The worst possible thing, the Son of God coming and dying and Satan thinking that he has him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Great goodness. The word, the little U in front of catastrophe, that's the little Greek prefix of good and great, something good coming. The great U catastrophe. The worst thing is not the last thing. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? He loves you. He loves you. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And if we believe in him, we can have life. We can have healing. We can have joy everlasting. He walked out of that tomb alive. He lives today. He's seated on the throne. We sang it. Our God reigns. May seem like, oh, are you sure? I don't know. I've been preaching through the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is written to people undergoing great persecution, where they may be saying, I don't know. This world looks like it's going to be rocked. In Revelation chapter 5, we have an image of Jesus. You know what he looks like in Revelation chapter 5? It says he stands. He's standing as though a lamb that's been slaughtered. He's a lamb that's been slaughtered But that lamb stands, and that lamb lives, and that lamb holds the scroll, which is all history. He's the beginning and the end. And if we get to know him now, he is our Savior. He's coming back as a judge. Will you be ready? Accept him into your life. He came, he lived, he died on the cross, and he lives forevermore, and you can know him. Open up your heart to him today. Father, we thank you that you live. You're alive. You're a lamb that stands. Worthy is the lamb who was slain, they sing. Worthy is the lamb who was slain. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would stir your people, Lord, to worship. You would open our eyes. Lord, we were those dead bones in that valley. We were dead. We were dead. Without hope, Lord, we were dead. But you breathed on us and you brought life. And Lord, I thank you for your bride, your church, Lord, that is an exceedingly great army. Father, I pray that we would wake up and realize who we are in you. Open our eyes, Lord. Thank you for the life that you came to give us. Thank you for the joy that you came to give us. Thank you, God, for the great Easter you catastrophe. Great victory out of great loss. We thank you that the worst thing is not the last thing. And Lord, if we're living here, if we're here today, and it just seems like we're stuck between Good Friday and Easter, and we're kind of reeling, and we feel disoriented, and we feel maybe a little bit lost, and we feel like there's darkness, and we look around, and we're scared. Maybe we've lost our hope. Lord, I pray that we would lift up our eyes, that your Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to us. We thank you, Lord, that love has a name. That salvation has a name, that hope has a name. Lord, we thank you that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that you are Lord. And Lord, I pray we would get right with you while there is still time. We thank you, Lord, that you are a soon and coming King. And Lord, may we be ready. May we be ready. We thank you for your love that's here today. And Lord, today, if we hear your voice, I pray we wouldn't harden our heart, but we would open our heart to you and say, Jesus, come in, save me. Open our eyes, open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, be happy to pray with you. He's in the house and Jesus lives and he wants to encounter you. So I'd be happy to pray with you. But please stand while we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. If you'd like to come and pray, please, please come. Crown him with many crowns. Say with me the covenant prayer, please. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, I just kind of overwhelmed right now with the images in the book of Revelation of the worship around the throne. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, they sing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Father, we praise you and we bless you and we enter into the worship of the elders and around the throne and we say worthy, worthy, worthy. Fill your people, Lord, with joy. Stir up the hearts of your people. Lord, anoint us to minister to you in worship because you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. I pray, Lord, that not only with our lips, but with our lives, Lord, to be a worship unto you, that we may be your hands, your feet, Lord, that we would be your voice in a dark and dying world. We thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back, and you're coming back to a bride that has made herself ready. Lord, may we yield, and may we be sensitive to your spirit in this hour and in these days. Make us ready, Lord. Make us ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Go forth in peace.